The thing that is in room 101 is the worst thing in the world.
Jeremy Beadle.
Terry Wilder.
Birdie Song.
People like Annika Rice.
Jeremy Beadle.
Birmingham.
Beatles Bell.
Des O'Connor.
Anything with Cilla Black.
Essex. I want my MTV.
Jeremy Beadle.
Room 101 is that huge storeroom deep in the bowels of the BBC which houses the collective fears of a nation. Everything terrifying, tiresome, or just plain tacky is in there, from Barry Took to an album of Noel's funny phone calls. A guest will try and persuade me, Nick Hancock, to include a few of their own nightmare people, places, or pop songs in the Room 101 collection. This music and the subsequent suggestions are the choice of this week's guest, whose line is it anyway's answer to Give Us a Clue's Eunice Stubbs, Paul Merton. Hello, Paul.
Hello there.
I understand you have a hangover today.
Yes, I do. I had a little bit too much lager last night.
Really? That's very naughty, isn't
yes, it? Yes, I blame it on the alcohol.
Paul, what was that?
Elizabethan Serenade. It was a hit in the early 60s. I remember... It was a hit, yeah. I'm not sure that version was. That's a sort of Hammond organ version.
Yes, I can tell you. That was Klaus Wunderlich.
Oh, yes.
Off the album Mr. Hammond. A title he certainly deserved, I think.
Indeed. Yes, and I remember walking through a park, and I just asked my mother for an ice cream. She said, no, you can't have an ice cream. And I remember crying. And I remember hearing this on a portable radio walking past. And whenever I hear it, it reminds me of the fact that... life isn't what it should be. And I always associate that intense feeling of disappointment and depression with that particular tune.
And rejection, really.
And rejection
and
as well.
And sadness and tragedy. And,
yeah.
And it's really sort of, perhaps your theme tune, is it?
I think so, yeah. I mean, there's been many moments in my life where Elizabethan Serenade would be the perfect backing music.
Really?
Yeah.
And what sort of ice cream was it you were after?
It was a vanilla ice cream.
Really?
So yeah, vanilla cornet, in fact.
Yeah. If any listeners have...
It wouldn't be the same.
We couldn't get one sent in.
No. There was one ice cream that I wanted, and I should have had it, and it was in 1963.
63. So that's Elizabethan Serenade. A tragic tune for you.
Mm.
I wonder if we could hear a little bit more of that, just to refresh your memory. No ice cream for you, Paul.
Yes.
That's the sort of feeling.
It conjures it up.
I think that's fair enough. I think on those grounds, Klaus Wunderlich, Mr. Hammond, and his version of Elizabethan Serenade, and indeed all versions of Elizabethan Serenade, can be condemned to Room 101. And we might get just a little snatch of what's in there as we open the door.
Our only problem is that in London people tend to ignore it because they see film crews on every pavement every day. When you go out...
And then a few tasters there of what's actually in Room 101. Did
it
you
sounds
spot?
Horrible.
Did you spot what that was?
It was Terry Jack's Season in the Sun.
Of course it was, yes. I was the black sheep of the family.
Yes, that's right.
And who was that we heard speaking there?
I'm not quite sure.
It was Esther.
Was it?
Lovely, lovely, darling, sweet Esther, who happens to live in Room 101,
yeah.
Actually, and quite rightly so. Now, here's an extract from a film you understandably have an aversion to. Now, that's a difficult one for you.
Yes, I've no idea what that is.
Well, we hear it again. Obviously, laughter is not something you hear very often, Paul.
No, but what is that?
Well, let's hear something a little bit different from the same thing.
Oh, having some difficulty, old man, have you been? We didn't pass you. We've just been enjoying a delicious and most leisurely lunch. Do you think that old cock's patted him for good? Well, don't worry about it. Don't you think Wendy ought to come with us? I should hate her to miss the parade.
Oh, yes.
I must say that Paul actually looks like he's in a great deal of physical pain listening to that.
Oh, yes, that's very bad. I'm sure Kenneth Moore was a marvellous man, but that's from Genevieve.
Yeah.
And his performance in Genevieve is so bad and annoying. He sort of plays a sort of jovial, well, as that laugh indicates, a jovial sort of over-the-top character who, like, if he came into your house, you'd just kill him.
Yeah, he was a sort of Richard Briers figure in it, wasn't he, really?
More so. It was just really annoying performance.
More than Richard Briers, sort of, Richard Briers!
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
He's got a cloth cap and gloves. leather driving gloves, and he keeps driving up to people in this car and then standing up and shouting things at them.
And laughing.
Oh, it's abysmal. Oh, I do. That's
Kenneth Moore is Woody Woodpecker, isn't it?
It could be. Oh, it's dreadful.
Yeah, I think, again, you're doing very well, actually. Both of you are comfortably going to room 101, so I think we'll get that one put very quickly away. Get
yes,
that
please.
Video in there now.
I'm not sure that Mr. Kinnock actually sees me as a doormat. That's not the way he's usually presented.
Any clues on those we heard from Room 101?
No, well, that's Norman Tebbit. I'm not quite sure what the music was.
It wasn't a bit you probably recognise. It was Puff the Magic Dragon by...
Peter Paul and Mary.
Peter Paul and Mary, in fact. Yes. That's absolutely correct. Well done. Well, you're obviously upset now, so we'll try and cheer you up with another one of the tunes that you've chosen. Oh! 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 Coming up.
I don't know if I recognise this.
Oh, surely you recognise this. Perhaps if I gave you a sample line from it.
Yes.
There was Funky Billy Chin.
Yes.
And Little Sammy Chung.
Sammy Chung. Wasn't he the manager of Stoke at some point?
He was the assistant manager of Stoke. But I don't think that's the Sammy Chung they're referring to.
Oh, yes.
And that was, of course, the fantastic Kung Fu Fighting by Carl Douglas. It's strange, isn't it? Carl Douglas never really did much after that.
No. I was reading somewhere the other day about this. Apparently this was a B-side or something that he wrote in about 15 minutes and then somebody changed onto the A-side and became a big hit. The reason why I hate this is because it reminds me of a time when I was desperately trying to get off with girls and failing miserably. And our school organised a disco with another school and this was playing. And this was when most of the sort of the pairings happened.
Mm.
And I was just sitting in the corner talking to somebody about, I don't know, Man Called Ironside or whatever, being very miserable with a glass of orange. I think there was if you hadn't scored by the end of Kung Fu Fighting, then you might as well go home.
You weren't
really
involved. There were a lot of songs about fighting around then, wasn't there? Because there was In Zaire, which was a song about the Frazier v. Ali fight.
I don't remember that one at all.
Don't you?
How did that go?
Well, they went In Zaire, and that's as tuneful as I get, I'm afraid. You're not going to get me on that. I'm afraid that I'm not going to let you have Kung Fu Fighting.
Oh, well, that's all right.
Because I always did get off with someone before the end of Kung Fu Fighting, obviously.
Well, yeah.
Let's hear a bit. And in fact, you could try and chat me up during the rest of Kung Fu Fighting.
Okay.
And I'll see how you get on.
All right,
okay? Which school are you from?
I'm from Wimbledon College.
Are you?
Yeah. Do you want to go to bed with me?
Not really. No.
I could pay you.
Oh, well. I think haven't we laid that to rest now? Because you've actually managed to get off with someone.
Yeah, that's good.
You've
so
got
I no longer hate it. Yeah, I got
fact.
Off with you, so that's very good.
Yeah, it was lovely.
That ghost has been buried.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's listen to the next one. What's coming along now? I do sound like a DJ, don't I? What's coming along now? And Bill Holdings advertised products that nobody needs. While anger from Manchester writes to complain about all the repeats on the TV. Computer terminals report some gains in the values of copper and tin. While American businessmen snap up blank dots for the price of a hospital wing. Makes you think, doesn't it, Paul?
It does.
It makes you think.
It makes you think why somebody would bother to commit those words to recorded tape.
Yeah, it's just not worth it, is it?
It's dreadful.
That's the sort of thing you'd have written when you were about 16 or 17.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You thought it was quite deep, but never had the courage to show anyone.
That's
and
right.
And then think for the rest of your life, thank God I never had the courage to show anybody that.
Yeah, courage. Unless, of course, you're Justin Curry, the man who wrote both the words and the music for this marvellous Delamitri song.
Really?
Yes.
Justin Curry?
Justin Curry. And Bill Hordin's advertised products that nobody needs. You know, in a way, that's like, I think, talking about, like, commercialism.
Yeah.
You know, and advertising and...
It makes you think a lot of people in advertising are perhaps just in it for the money.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth in that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of them would think twice when they heard that line.
Yeah. In fact, I seem to remember that when that single came out, there were, like, Saatchi's and J. Walter Thompson.
Mass resignations.
There was a lot of resignations, and the two companies were teetering for a long time.
Yeah.
Until I think Delamitri's next thing was called
actually advertising's really good after
yeah,
all.
We didn't mean it.
All right, yeah. Sorry, sorry about that.
Yeah. Because they didn't realise the power of the song.
That's right, yeah. I'd quite like to go down the pub, I think, with old Justin Curry.
Yeah.
But he's a cracking night out with them.
I bet so,
walking
yeah.
along going, oh dear, look at that. There's another billboard advertising something nobody
yeah,
needs.
Yeah, and you say, oh my God, write that down.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then sort of, oh, look at that hospital. It's not very big, is it? Somebody must have bought a Van Gogh recently.
That's right. He'd be a barrel of fun.
Miserable sod.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll send him and his song in
yeah.
101.
Yeah, definitely.
I like everybody to be happy and not to have arguments or anything, or to not like people because...
Spot either of them?
Bonnie Langford.
Bonnie Langford, obviously. Lovely, lovely Bonnie.
Very, very nice. She's one of those strange people who sort of doesn't grow up. Extremely annoying at the age of 10, and you can sort of almost forgive somebody for being annoying at the age of 10, but she's annoying at the age of 25. Mm. I don't know what the music was. It sounded like Blockbuster by Sweet. I don't suppose it was.
No, it was Communication Breakdown by Led Zeppelin.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
Another thing about Delamitri, of course, Scottish lads, but not a big fan of, well, I know a certain city north of the border you're not a big fan of.
Oh, yes, Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
It's nothing to do with Edinburgh in terms of its architecture or anything like that. It's just the fact that I've had some very bad luck there. Well, one year I went up and I got mugged in the street, putting up posters for a show for the Edinburgh Festival. And then the following year I broke my leg playing football and went into hospital and then got a thing called a pulmonary embolism, blood clot in the lung, and also hepatitis I contracted while I was in the hospital. Very miserable hospital ward it was. It was sort of hadn't been painted for about 35 years. Very old patients, very ill people, and I was one of them in there. And
so, quite honestly, you'd rather that particular hospital wing was got rid of.
Yeah,
than Van Gogh was bought.
And swapped for a Van Gogh.
Yeah,
definitely.
So. How would you sort of compare having hepatitis and seeing Genevieve?
Well, the hepatitis was really just a side issue that they weren't really particularly bothered about.
Right.
They sort of told me offhand one day, oh, by the way, you've got hepatitis as well.
Mm.
I said, well, how did I get that? And he said, well, you've probably got it off the food, they
fair.
Said.
That's fair, obviously.
You know.
I mean, I suppose, you know, once you're in there, the more things you've got, it doesn't cost you any more.
No.
They've got the doctors there anyway, they've got the bed.
Yeah.
You may as well have hepatitis while you're in.
Might as well get your money's worth.
That's right, it's like the supermarket system.
Yeah, exactly.
Economies of scale.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I think Kenneth would have enjoyed the idea of you having hepatitis. I think if he'd
oh, my.
Thank you, Kenneth. So you reckon hepatitis not as bad as Genevieve?
No, nowhere near as bad.
Well, therefore, Edinburgh can't go into room 101, can it, really? And also, I really like Edinburgh, and my sister lives there, so...
Oh, well...
And no one ever mugged me, because I'm obviously a lot harder than you.
Yeah, well...
Right, that's probably it.
Well, we'll leave it at that, then.
Well, what have we got next? When you're in hospital, you must have had time for some reading, he said, for a seamless link.
No, I never read anything. I can't read.
Oh, fair enough, then.
Do you find a bath as agreeable as when I had the honour of making the inquiry before?
Oh, yes, quite. More so, indeed.
More so? Take care, or you will forget to be tired of it at the proper time. You ought to be tired at the end of 6 weeks.
I do not think I should be tired if I were to stay here 6 months.
I think I should be tired after about 6 seconds.
Yeah.
What's that from?
That's, I think that's Northanger Abbey by Jane Austen, is it?
Jane Austen, yeah.
Yes, that was a book that was, we were 16, and having no luck at all with kung fu fighting, and we were presented with this book that we had to do for O-level, and when you're sort of like a randy 16-year-old boy, it's not the sort of thing to read. I remember the teacher brought the book in, he said, "Now I've got this book for two very good reasons. Firstly, I think it's an excellent novel, and secondly, it's the only one I could get."
That's fair enough. That was a really mixed media experience for you then, wasn't it? Northanger Abbey and Kung Fu Fighting.
Yeah. Northanger Abbey. I'm sure it's a wonderful book, but it's, you know, it's it wasn't for me. It was a comedy of manners and all this sort of society, gentility and all that. Oh, it was awful.
Yeah. I think another reason that Northanger Abbey, for me, doesn't beat Kung Fu Fighting is the fact that Northanger Abbey doesn't have those two excellent characters, Funky Billy Chin and Little Sammy Chung.
Yeah.
If they'd have been in Northanger Abbey, I think it would have been a cracking read.
Yeah.
I bet there was no scrapping in it either.
No.
No. Absolutely rubbish.
No.
But I'm afraid it doesn't get in either, because we like to think of ourselves as a highbrow programme.
Oh, right.
And so we're not having any Jane Austen novels in room 101.
Oh, blimey. I'm going a bit downhill here.
You started off well. I mean, you were straight there with the Elizabethan Serenade from Genevieve, but now you're on Northanger Abbey.
Yeah.
You're on Loser Street.
Yeah.
Cool. You really are. Well, what have we got coming next?
Is that someday you'll care? My hopes, my dreams come true. My one and only you. No one will ever.
every time I hear this song, it's only Make Believe by Conway Twitty, I believe. It reminds me that I can't sing, because I really like this song, yeah. And I try to sing it, but it gets higher and higher in the verse, mm. until you finally finish on an impossibly high note, which I never get anywhere near. Mm. And it doesn't matter how low I start. Mm. You know, you say, people see us everywhere, they think you really care, but myself I can't deceive. And then it goes up and up and up, and halfway through it, I go completely out of tune.
Well, let's see how you do it. I mean, you got to go from that part. Yeah.
How's it going? It?
Yeah, I've got the words for it.
Oh, have you? Oh, it gives the words then.
There you go. That always makes it a little bit easier, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sure Conway had the words.
Oh, Jack Nance co-wrote it. I didn't know that. People see us everywhere. They think you really care. But myself, I can't deceive. And it's like, boom, boom. I know it's only make believe. Then it's a bop, 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 bop,
bop, bop, bop, bop,
in the back end. There we go. My one and only prayer is that someday you'll care. My hopes, my dreams come true. My one and only you. No one will ever know how much I love you so. My only prayer. But there's another four lines after that.
You know where you could do it, is there?
No, there's no it you cannot be sang unless you're Conway Twitty.
Yeah.
And I hate it for that very reason. It reminds me that I can't sing.
But it is a song that you have to link with Conway Twitty.
Yeah.
So there, again, for me, it can't go into Room 101, because Conway Twitty deserves a knighthood.
Why?
Or a canonism.
Well, he's an American, so he can't get a knighthood.
Well, a canonism, then.
A canonism?
Yeah. For being called Conway Twitty. He's been named after a Northwalian resort and the sound that a bird makes.
No, birds don't make a twitty sound.
Don't they? Twitty, no. Twitty, twitty,
no,
twitty,
no, you're, twitty, twitty. That's you making the twit sound and then putting a Y on the end. There's no bird makes a twitty sound.
Isn't there?
No.
All right, then. Well, he's still been named after a Northwalian resort.
Well, he did co-write it with Jack Nance as well.
Jack Nance? I'm sure there's someone else called Jack Nance.
It's his brother.
Yeah. That must have been very confusing for them.
It was quite confusing, yeah.
But his mother came, Jack, come in! And then Jack had come in, but it'd be the wrong Jack.
Well, her father's name was Jack as well.
Oh, God.
So they liked the name.
Yeah. Oh, well, fair enough to the Nance family, fair enough to Conway, and bad luck, that doesn't go into Room 101.
Oh, dear.
Now, I'm confident that your next choice is a strong contender for Room 101, but then I know what's coming up. You know what's coming up, though.
I'm not quite sure I know what that is.
I'll tell you what, that was the only instrument I ever got to play at school, because that was the triangle,
oh,
wasn't
yes.
it?
Yeah.
Should give you a bit of a clue.
Triangle. Oh, yes.
Lying lost and lonely on the island of sand, when a lovely stranger says hello and takes my hand, and soon she's fishing on my blanket, and then we're going for a swim. When I say, what about your boyfriend? She turns and waves goodbye to him. From you and I triangle, if they people disappear.
This is Barry Manilow meets the strange and mysterious world of Arthur C. Clarke.
It is indeed, yes. It's his one dip into the paranormal. That's a marvellous rhyme, isn't it? Try and see it from my angle.
Yeah. And when now he came up with that?
I don't know.
Can we try and
think of it? I think he could teach Justin Curry a few things, you know.
He could, yeah. Like it makes people disappear.
That's
Bermuda
very good.
Triangle. Don't go too near.
Yeah, that's very, very good indeed.
That's it. A cautionary tale there, actually.
He only wrote the music on this, I noticed, Barry Manilow. He didn't write the lyrics. The lyrics belong to Bruce Sussman and Jack Feldman.
No, but apparently what happened was Barry wrote the music and he thought, this music to me, it's about the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
He said, what are they called?
Bruce Sussman and Jack Feldman.
He said, Bruce, Jack, for goodness sake, get some words down for me about the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
A lot of things have gone down there. Ships have disappeared, planes have disappeared. We can approach the problem. We can make the public know about it.
Yeah, he was quite right. The reason why I hate this song, apart from his obvious lack of merit, is that, again, this is a song that I remember being played while I was trying to get off with somebody.
Really?
And failing completely.
Really? Who was that?
It was actually Sandy Gall.
Sandy Gall.
I got stuck in a lift with him in New York, and this was playing over the elevator, you know, and we were stuck for 6 hours, and I, you know, he wouldn't put out.
He wouldn't see it from your angle.
He wouldn't see it from my angle, no, not indeed.
That's Sandy for you.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, unfortunately, Bermuda Triangle doesn't go into Room 101.
Oh, this is awful.
Because, Paul, it's already there, so it's an inspired choice.
Oh, I see.
But Room 101 was actually invented for Bermuda Triangle to be put in.
Oh, I see.
And it's played as Muzak inside Room 101 continually.
Oh, how lovely.
Yes, it's rather nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, next up, we've got a television theme tune, and brilliantly, I'd just like to say that the producer of this programme couldn't find the one that we wanted, so it's completely randomly thrown one in that we don't know what it's going to be, so we'll have to listen to that.
Oh, okay.
Well, I know what it is. You know what it is.
It's not the streets of San Francisco, is
it? No. Good effort, though. Exactly the same program, just in a different street. I'll give you a clue. It's the lodger from the Cuckoo Waltz. With a bloke who plays Scott of the Antarctic.
Oh, is this The Professional?
Correct, well done.
I never saw The Professionals.
Never
watched it, no.
What was that?
I never
You were trying to get off with Sandy Gore, weren't you? Every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock.
There's something about Gordon Jackson that used to turn my stomach.
Yeah.
So I've got to hate that, have I?
No, you've got to tell us which one you were meant to hate and which our producer couldn't find.
Oh, now which one was it? TV show. Oh, yes, Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, do you hate that? I hate that
program. That's dreadful.
That is dreadful. Terrible, yeah.
I mean, they must think we're stupid.
Yeah.
Improvised. It's rubbish.
Hey, come on.
Nonsense.
Just
can't stand it.
Saving on scriptwriters, aren't
they? Yeah.
Did you get away with some bad jokes?
I wouldn't pay me licence fee. Mm.
Well, I wasn't going to let that in because I thought it was a pathetic piece of self-publicism. But
no, I hate it.
But I think it should go in.
Yeah, I think it definitely should go in.
Because if there's one thing I hate, it's improvised comedy.
Yeah, can't stand it.
Can't be dealing with it. No. The other thing is you start improvising and the next thing you know, you've turned an ankle.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
You have somebody's eye out, torn limbs, muscles,
There's no point. Stop it now and go on to some nice, sensible sitcom about somebody borrowing someone's lawnmower and breaking it.
Yeah, or somebody giving a pair of overalls to the jumble sale with a £50 note in the back
in
pocket.
In the back pocket, yeah, which they're trying to anyway, because they placed a bet on a horse.
That's right.
That's much better. I know where I am.
You know, exactly where you are.
Yeah. I think, therefore, Whose Line Is It Anyway does go into Room 101.
Oh, good.
And suddenly a plot appears. Now, if I stop one book on Thursday and start another one on Friday, so I will just have food. Yeah, I've got much time.
And that obviously was Barbara Cartland, Roger Whittaker, and a dentist drill.
Yes, that is quite frightening.
Yeah, that is a combination made in hell. And I think we now have your last record. There we go. That's obviously Gloria Gaynor. And every time I listen to that song, Paul, I don't know about you, I think I know why he left her.
Yes. And it's also that lyric, you're back from outer space. Like, did she have an affair with Buzz Aldrin? The reason why I hate that song particularly is because it's 8 minutes long. As soon as you hear that come on, you know for the next 8 minutes, that insistent drum beat's going to go on.
Yeah.
And I will survive, I will survive, and I will go on forever singing this damned awful song.
Mm.
8 minutes long. No song should be 8 minutes
it's
long.
Sort of
apart from the National Anthem.
Yeah, obviously.
I think the National Anthem should be about 4 hours long, in fact.
I do as well. It can make the medal ceremonies even more boring.
Like, beginning of the cup final, they'd have to start playing at 9 o'clock in the morning.
That's right. That's a good idea, actually, yeah. I think the sort of sentiment of the song is, I will survive, but you're going to have to listen to this to suffer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is indeed the sentiment of it. Yeah.
I also remember lots of girls dancing to it together and having their own little dance about I should have changed the stupid locks, which is a very difficult thing to dance in a sort of mimey way.
Well, how did they do that then?
Keys. They did keys and taking the keys away and throwing them away and then having new keys that they could thrust in and going, yes, and putting the thumbs up, showing that the new lock was already.
Oh, good. Really? So they didn't sort of like mime a sort of tool bag?
No, they didn't mime.
And mime sort of unscrewing the little screws in the door.
Or inviting the lock locksmith in and go and get him a cup of coffee. Why didn't they didn't do that?
No, or mime in the phone.
Mime in the phone, yeah. Getting the yellow pages, looking the locksmith up, waiting for the locksmith to come, inviting him in, showing him which door you wanted changing, telling him if you wanted a 5-lever or a 3-lever lock. None of that was in it.
No.
That's strange.
Although, I mean, the song's long enough.
I was going to say, they've had time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think for all the locksmiths in the world, I Will Survive should definitely go into Room 101.
Good.
So we'll consign that.
Good, lovely.
Just as convenient if you went into a record store and looked under B and found, like, Beach Boys, Bach, and, you know, some other guy.
I really actually hate that person.
Nigel Kennedy.
I hate that person.
Yeah.
Because what's really sad is he's, like, more interesting than other classical musicians, which means that the rest of them must be awful.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand the point of Nigel Kennedy anyway. All the classical music has been recorded.
That's right, yeah.
We don't need another version.
He hasn't written anything new, has he?
No. Four Seasons, boy, there's 50 other versions in the shops.
Yeah.
Why bother?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've heard it. We've heard that one.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Nigel, go away.
Yeah, exactly.
Go away, Nigel.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I agree.
So, given that Nigel Kennedy obviously is already in Room 101, who is your person? Who would you like to consign forever to Room 101?
When I was about 8 years old, I had a teacher called Sister Galista.
Excellent.
Yes.
Did all the sisters at your school have rhyming names?
No, they didn't. No, she was the only one that came close to it.
Nice.
And she was this nun who was, you know, I mean, she was just dreadful. She really was. I remember writing an essay in English. And,
oh, that's good. You didn't know any French then, or
no. The subject was what I did during my school holidays. I started off by saying, well, my school holidays, I went to the beach. It was very nice. A spaceship landed, and I got on the spaceship, and I went to another planet, and all this. And
Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah, Buzz Aldrin. And she said, that's not true. You can't write that because it's not true. Anything that had anything to do with imagination, she was very happy to stamp on it.
Mm.
She was a dreadful individual. I get angry about it still when I think about it.
It wasn't Sister Bellister you were trying to get off with during Kung Fu Fighting, was it?
No.
Yeah, that
was Jack Nance, in fact.
It was Jack Nance.
Yeah.
So that's Sandy Gould and Jack Nance, but not Sister Bellister.
No, Galista. Not Bellister.
Bellister, which is actually a chocolate bar, isn't
it? Yeah, or is it a missile?
Ballisto. I don't know.
Science of missiles.
Ballistics. Yeah.
Could be. It's very similar.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, she definitely goes into Room 101, so that's the end of her, and indeed the end of us. And now, in true Whose Line Is It Anyway style, we're going to ask Paul to read the credits in the style of a man with a hangover.
Room 101 was presented by Nick Hancock and starred Paul Merton. Producer was Lisa Evans. Oh, jeez.